It's that river of anointing. Again, today, the anointing of God is going to move mightily in this show. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, beside my associate pastor, the wonderful, the sweet, the kind, the lovely, the dear... Pastor Jim Ellsbury. He is all of that, don't you think, Bill?
There's a lot to live up to.
Don't you think Pastor Jim is all of that and a bag of chips?
He reminds me of...
A big teddy bear.
The guy off of SpongeBob.
Ah, the guy off of SpongeBob.
SpongeBob's friend.
SpongeBob's friend, and what's his name? Pastor Jim.
I forget.
I have no idea.
I don't know either. My grandkids are older than SpongeBob now, so I don't know.
They're older than... I have applesauce here, so whenever you mention your certain things that you're about to mention.
Oh, okay.
Like New York City and St. Petersburg and stuff like that.
New York City and St. Petersburg, okay.
Yeah, New York City.
New York City. I don't know. What is New York City?
You don't know what New York City is? Tell her, Jim.
It's a big city, Pastor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know where it is.
They just passed the law for
New York State.
Oh, you're right. They did. They passed the law for gay marriage, right? Or
see there?
Applesauce right there.
I waited till you said it.
Ah, applesauce is right there. That's it. Oh, and yes, there was a huge Pride Day in St. Pete yesterday, and we lived to tell about it.
It was good. It was a good time. The rain, the drizzle, the rain kind of kept the temperature
right.
A little lower, which was very nice.
Boy.
And, you know,
still think it was 115 on that pavement.
It could have been, but we were able to reach a lot of people out
Amen.
There.
Amen.
Praise God for
Amen.
That.
There's a lot of giving away the word, and it was good. It was really a good day.
We had all those flags, gave away all 244
all
of
right
them.
All right of them, yeah. We sure did. It was a good day, and we're still tired. But other than that, we're not tired in the spirit, are
Amen.
We, Pastor Jim?
We proved that this morning.
Ooh, did we have church at Beacon of Hope today?
But I got to tell the people out there.
We have
two churches. We have two services.
Yes.
Because the praise team gets together at about 9 o'clock, quarter
right.
to 9, 9 o'clock, to practice that day's music.
Right.
And we just get so carried away in the spirit, we have church then.
Absolutely.
And then we go and pray, and then we have church again.
Then we have church
o'clock.
Again, yeah. And then we come on the radio and we have church again.
We have church again.
Sunday is just like all day church.
Right.
Was just a break in between for a snack, in some people's case, and a nap, but not mine. But that's okay. No, we're excited to be here today on the radio live with you. We always are. And this is June 26, 2011. And it's a great day. And we're excited about what God is doing in so many people's lives.
Amen.
Pastor Jim, I just look around and I just see, miracle after miracle. Answer to prayer after answer to prayer.
Right.
Blessing after blessing. People's lives are changing, and it is wonderful to see.
Amen.
It really
Amen.
Is.
Just, it's incredible. I mean, from top to bottom in at Beacon,
yes.
you and I to the newest person that walks in the door.
Right.
God's moving and doing a work on the inside of each
Amen.
One of us.
And Amen.
We're getting bolder. You prayed
yes.
some pretty bold prayers this morning, and I was right there agreeing with you.
Yeah.
And it's, we're just taking that, it's like we're going a step deeper in
yes,
our
we
walk
are.
With God.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it can be scary. It's like kind
it
of
is.
Walking off a cliff, but still
well,
knowing
we're
that his hands are going to be there
to catch
to
us.
To catch you.
We're getting to that point where we are boldly declaring certain things. And one of those things is that we really believe that God's word, we've always said this, we're in our 10th year of Beacon of Hope, but we are boldly declaring more often, I guess, God's word is the ultimate authority in our lives.
Amen.
Final authority in our lives. God's word, it's all about God's word. Our slogan, which was on the back of many, many purple shirts yesterday, and yours is a navy one, and it says, "Wear the word of God. God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives."
Amen.
And that's what it's all about at Beacon of Hope.
Exactly. And it's the word of God that brings healing and restoration. It's
yes.
not Pastor Marcia. It's not Pastor Jim. It's not
right.
It's not warm, fuzzy feelings.
Right.
It's, It's the word of God.
Amen.
And it's really to bring that, because the restoration and that we talk about and the healing is not just a superficial thing.
No.
We're talking about where God's word, because it says God's word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, getting down to between the bone and the marrow.
Oh, I love that verse.
And that's how deep the restoration goes. And that can only happen with the word of God.
Absolutely.
I mean, down
it's miracle.
Inside.
You know, it's miracle time. You know, with the way that God is moving in people's lives, getting down deep into the emotions, the hurts of the past, issues, the bitterness maybe in people that need to be dealt with and all of that. It's like time to step up to the plate and hit the ball.
Right.
Okay, time to get my raise.
Yeah, there
they
she goes.
Are. Actually, they've won 7 out of the last 8. Just had to throw that in. But anyway, it's time to step up to the plate and say, okay, I am that mighty ambassador for God. Mm-hmm. I am that one, that soldier who walks around with my shield of faith and my sword of the Spirit. And all of those things, that armor of God from Ephesians 6, I am that person. Mm-hmm. And to really believe that you're that person, not just say it, but really down the inside of you go, whoa, something's happening on the inside of me, you know? Ooh, that's time for applesauce right there. Applesauce. Thank you, Engineer Bill, because that is, I mean, God is the one that gets that applause.
Yes.
Because he's the one that's doing the work.
Amen. It's, you know, I'm thankful that he allows us to be those vessels.
Amen.
To move through.
But, oh, yes.
You know, all the glory goes to God.
Amen.
Because if it weren't for his moving.
Right.
You know, we could just.
We'd just be having church.
We would just be. Showing up for social time.
Right. And it's not like that at all.
Sunday social time.
We are so different than a lot of churches, and we openly admit that. And it's not that we're all strange and weird or anything. It's just that we're all committed and excited about the Word of God. We're committed to the Word. We're committed to the individual ministries that God's called us to do and carry out on this earth. We're committed to growing and changing and becoming more like Jesus. And I'm not saying that's not happening in other churches. I'm just saying that's what Beacon of Hope's all about.
And if I can be real honest, among the inclusive churches, of which we are one.
Right.
We are probably way out there.
Yes, we are.
Because I think that's what really sets us apart. Most churches that are inclusive tend to water the word down and make it, you know, just like soggy oatmeal.
Right.
Whereas we've turned it in, we maintain that it's solid food.
Exactly.
And we don't water it down. We stand firm on the Word of God. And that does set us quite a bit apart from a number of other churches.
Mm-hmm. But that's okay, because that's our mission, and that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be out there. We're supposed to be weird. Yes, we're supposed to be gung-ho for Jesus.
And we are a peculiar people.
But I'll tell you what, Pastor Jim, we're a good group of people, and I thank God for the group of a family at Beacon of Hope. Any of you out there listening, if you're in the Tampa Bay area and don't have a church family that you belong to, you are welcome to come to Beacon of Hope. We don't care what color you are. We don't care anything else about you except that you have a hunger and want God.
Amen.
And want God. Other than that, nothing else matters.
Right.
And we are inclusive, as you say. We are open, and we want to put our arms around you and love you and teach you the truths of God's word. All right. We're going to start this show off today. It's going to be a great show, by the way. So if you have your Bible, find it. We're going to go to the book of Genesis, which is the first book. This first song is by a group called Mike's Chair, Someone Worth Dying For.
You might be the wife waiting up at night. You might be the man struggling to provide, feeling like it's hopeless. Maybe you're the son who chose a broken road. Maybe you're the girl thinking you'll end up alone. Praying, God, can you hear me? Oh God, are you listening? Am I more than flesh and I want to believe, Jesus, help me believe that I am someone worth dying for. Truth that God has set you free, but you think you're the one that grace could never reach, so you just keep asking.
Never heard that song by Mike's Chair.
Mike's Chair is a great, great.
That group. Is great. You're not just some wandering soul. You've got to believe you're someone worth dying for. Wow. Isn't that true, Pastor Jim?
No, just, everybody chokes me up.
It doesn't. There's so many. And at the festival yesterday, there were so many people that you could tell that don't know the Lord and need him so much.
And there's so many there that feel they're not worth
that they're not worth it
dying
yeah.
for
right
and
yeah.
you know
wow
I'm about ready to cry, but Jesus went to the cross
exactly
for that very reason. And if there is
right.
anybody
right
who's listening today because you know talked to us yesterday or received one of our cards or whatever, we just want you to know that you were worth dying for,
right?
And that Jesus died for you.
Exactly.
Because he loves you. It doesn't
Ooh,
matter.
Amen. Amen.
Your sex, your age, your...
Right.
Your sexuality. It does... that. Those things don't matter. Your race. None of that matters. What matters is God loves you, and he proved
exactly.
it by sending Jesus.
Praise God. We're going to have church here, Pastor
Jim.
We are.
I already...
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
It's all about believing.
Amen.
You know, I heard that in that song, I Want to Believe, you know. And I think there's listeners out there today that say, I want to believe. I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to be believing, but I want to believe. I'd like to have a purpose and a plan for my life. I'd like to have direction and goals. And that's why you've tuned in to Living the Good Life today, because we're going to talk about it. So let's go to Genesis 15, and let's find a guy who ventured out in faith. His name was Abram to begin with. In Genesis 15, Abram lived in another land actually called Year of the Chaldeans is where he came from. And, yes, I like to say it in Spanish better.
Just waiting for
You're
that.
Waiting on it. Ur de los Caldeos. And that is a lot prettier than Ur of the Chaldeans, don't you think? Ur de los Caldeos, yes. Well, that's where Abram was from. And God called him and God spoke to his heart and said, go where you have no clue where you're going. Let me lead you to a place and I'm going to give you all of this. And Abram was not a young chick when this happened.
No.
No. And so here we find Abram, and he's gone through some victories. He's gone through some interesting experiences. I think it starts in about, his story really starts in about...
Chapter 12.
12, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. So now we're at 15, and so if we start in verse 1, after these things, the word of God came to Abram in a vision. And he said to him, don't be afraid, Abram, I'm your shield. Your reward will be grand. Your reward will be grand. Don't be afraid. Pastor Jim, I believe that so many people don't get their reward, don't get their blessings here on this earth because of fear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, fear's huge in a lot of people's lives. Would you say, would you agree with me on that?
Well, you know, there's two kinds. And, you know, God is saying, don't be afraid. And it's kind of understood. Don't be afraid of me. We're not to cringe in terror
right.
from God. And so many people do because they, you know, believe the lie that they're not worth dying for, that they're not worthy of God's love, that they're
right.
not worthy because of whatever you've done.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, God expects us to be reverent.
Exactly.
To revere him, to be in awe of him.
Right.
But not to cringe in terror.
No.
Because, and that's what he told Abram here. Don't be afraid. I'm your shield.
Amen.
Okay? I'm the one that surrounds you. I'm the one that protects
right.
you.
Yes.
Your very great reward.
Ooh, wow.
You know, it's not like I'm your...
He's the big prize. He's
right.
like winning the lottery. It's God. That's who it is.
Well,
you know?
And, yeah, and he's not... He's, you know, God is not that, you know, old man up there ready to whack you over the head.
Right, right.
You know, the minute you do something wrong...
He's a God of love.
He's your shield. He's
yes.
your protector. He's your reward.
Ooh, amen. And then Abram has this dialogue with God. And let's throw this in right here because God wants you to talk to him more. And some of you out there, that may be a new experience for you, talking to God, sitting down and having a conversation. But God loves it when you do that. He loves it when you talk. So Abram says to God, God, wait a minute. What are you going to give me? I'm childless. You've never given me a child. Now, Pastor Jim, Abram was 75 years old here, right?
Mm-hmm.
When this dialogue began. 75 years old is not the age that most people start a family, right?
Amen.
So therefore, it took a miracle to start Abram's
even
family.
Even at 75, and we know he had to wait even beyond that.
Yes, right.
Yeah, he complained. He said, I'm childless.
Right.
Okay, you're going to bless me, but it's all going to go to Eliezer.
Right, who is his servant. Right.
You know?
And God understood that, and he goes, wait a minute. And in the Message Bible in verse 4, God says to Abram, don't worry. He's not going to be your heir. A son from your body is going to be your heir. That's who's going to be your heir. And, you know, that is just, that is like asking a 75-year-old man to believe that he and his 65-year-old woman, his wife, Sarah, at this point she was called Sari, but that they could conceive and have a child. And, that's just wild, isn't it?
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have? Exactly.
Or as Connie likes to say, somehow.
Somehow. That's exactly right. And so, you know, God says to Abram here, don't worry, you're going to have an heir. And he took him outside. Now, I love this part, and I mentioned this morning as I introduced this topic, and we didn't get very far into what I really wanted to cover today, but we're going to get further today on the radio. It's all about the blood of the covenant that we have with God that we're going to talk about today, which gives you the legal right to go boldly to the throne of grace. And we're going to explain what all that means. But so many people don't feel that they have any right to go and ask boldly the things of God. They feel like because they have done this and they have done that and they're still doing this and they're still doing that, that they have no rights and no privileges. And that's not what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
Woo, amen. So therefore, here we go. Abram was taken outside by God. And I love this because God does object lessons. He's so cool about that. And because the whole point is God wants you to remember something. And you know how we do at Beacon of Hope, you and I both. We write on the board when we're teaching on Wednesday nights. And we make a point, you know, we'll draw circles and we'll draw stick men. And you're a better artist than I am, but I am not a good artist. But I'll tell you, we'll make points, we'll make lists, because we want people to see what we're the point we're trying to make. Right. And we want them to get a mental picture of that word or something that will stick with them. And so God did this with Abram, and he took him outside, and he says, look, look. Now, Abram could have been rebellious and going, I don't see anything. I am tired. I'm going back to my tent, and I'll talk to you later. But it doesn't say that. God took him outside, and he says, look at the sky. He told him what to look at. He said, count the stars. Now, can you do that? Can you count the stars?
You can try.
You can try. But for the most part, you can't, right? Right? And I believe this was a very starry night because he says to Abram, count your descendants. Count the stars, count your descendants. You're going to have a big family, Abram. What an object lesson. What a picture to take him outside and say, look up, see how many stars there are. Later on in Genesis, he takes him and he says, okay, look at all the sand under mm-hmm. your feet. See all that sand? You're going to have that many descendants. Sand on the beach? I mean, I have sand in my car all the time. I have sand everywhere because I love the sand and I love my time at the beach. And even that amount of sand, you can't begin to sit there that you've tracked into your car and count all those little granules.
Right.
But yet God said to him, and then he said one time later, oh, let's count the dust. Let's count the dust.
Mm-hmm. Even finer and more numerous than sand.
I mean, stars are bad enough. But I think it's interesting. He starts with stars.
And the number just gets higher every time.
And then he goes to sand, and then he goes to dust. And he says, all right, you see all that? You can't even begin to tell mm-hmm. how many descendants that is going to be out of you, Abram. Now, Abram could have been a fussy old guy and sat down and go, I don't believe that at all. Look at me. After all, I'm... You know, I'm old, I'm decrepit. Sarah, she's nothing to look at anymore. He could have had that attitude. But he didn't.
But he didn't. It says in the next verse, Abraham believed the Lord.
That is just wild to me, Pastor Jim. I mean, you're talking a 75-year-old guy, and God says you're going to have all these descendants, and Abram is just crazy enough
to believe him.
To believe him. And to say, okay, really? I'm going to have that many descendants? And I don't even have one right this minute, and I'm 75? But you said it, so I believe it. And I love that old saying. We say it a lot on the radio. God said it. I believe it.
That settles it.
And if you are writing anything down, you need to write those three phrases down, and it'll change your life. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And it's the that settling part that is hard for a lot of people because of the doubt that comes back, don't you think?
Well, and we know that even in Abram's case,
right?
He didn't hold fast that confession. I mean, and that's what's kind of makes him human.
Because it makes him human.
I mean,
he is
Abraham, our father. Paul calls him even the father of the believing Gentiles.
Exactly.
Because of his faith. But in the next chapter.
Right.
He listens to Sarai, and she says, well, you know, maybe God needs a little helping hand. So
I love that.
So she
Let's
gives,
help God out. Well,
let's help God like he needs our help.
But we do that, Pastor Jim. We all do it.
And look at what happened in chapter 16. He listens to Sarai. He takes Hagar, who was her maid, as his concubine. She gets pregnant, Hagar, gives birth to Ishmael.
Yes.
And
so they helped God give Abram a son. However, that was not the right son.
Exactly. And that was not the son of the promise.
Right.
And we've had quarreling within that family now for, 4,000 years or so.
Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad.
Because Ishmael is the...
Which is the conflict in the Middle East that a lot of people don't understand.
Is the father of the Arabs.
Right. So it's the Arabs versus the Israelites, and that's been the issue for all those thousands of years. So that was it. That's in the next chapter. But let's go back here to Genesis 15. And I love verse 6. And he believed. He believed God. And God declared him set right with God. And in a lot of translations, it said God declared him righteous.
It was credited
that doesn't
to
mean,
him.
It does not mean he was perfect and that he never had a bad attitude again. It doesn't mean that he was sinless from that point on. Righteousness means set right with God. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. It does not mean perfection. It does not mean that you have it all together all the time. Righteousness means you're right with God. How do you stay right with God? 1 John 1:9. The Christian's bar of soap. I love that.
Yeah. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And that's how we stay clean.
Mm-hmm.
By cleansing. How do you stay clean? You take a shower. We take showers 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 10 a day, whatever your case may be. It depends on what kind of work you do. And you take showers and you use soap and you are cleansed and you get out of that shower feeling a lot better. Believe me, the shower yesterday after that 184 degree temperature out there, I tell you what, that was a good shower, you know, and you just feel clean finally, okay? That's what the word does when we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from
all unrighteousness.
All.
Not just some.
All.
All.
Abraham was made righteous because he believed.
Right.
How do we get saved?
We believe.
We believe. Okay.
We believe in our heart and confess with our mouth.
How do we receive healing?
We believe in our heart. We confess with our mouth.
How do we receive prosperity?
We believe in our heart. We confess with our mouth. I feel like a parrot.
You are a parrot. And, of course, none of this is rehearsed. But the truth of the matter is, it's all about believing.
Right. You have to believe what's in the Word, what
yes.
God promised you.
Right.
And then the next step is to speak it out.
Speak it out of your mouth. And we are going to talk today as we progress in this two-hour show. We are going to talk about why we can believe God. Okay? The covenant that God has set with us, what that means, and why we can take that to the bank like a check. You know, my sister was in some shop the other day, and this guy was there, and he walked in the door, and the ladies behind the counter, 7-Eleven or something, were saying, "Oh, there he is, the big winner." And the guy said, yeah. And they said, "You collect?" And he goes, "Yeah." And my sister's looking because she's never seen anybody that's won, you know, like that. And he had won a couple days before that $350,000 in our Florida lottery system.
Oh.
And he had gone and picked it up. I don't know what his game he played or whatever, but he won that amount of money. And he was going, "Yeah, I did. I really won," you know. Well, it's when so often we put more faith in a lotto ticket or we put more faith in the things we see than in what God has promised us. And there's nothing wrong with playing lotto. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, what do we believe, really believe, you know?
It's, you know, that's so true because, well, and I had talked about it when I taught. We believe that when we sit in a chair, it's going to hold us up.
That's a good point.
But when you physics tells us that all those atoms are basically nothing but empty space.
That's
all
right.
All the atoms and molecules. It's nothing but a lot of empty space. There's very little solid to a single atom.
Right.
And yet we still believe. We sit down. I'm sitting in this chair now. It's holding me up. Praise God. But I believe that's, you know, that's going to happen.
Right.
I believe those laws of physics.
Right.
You know, I know that they've been tested and they work. But I also know something, and I talked about this last Wednesday. The Word of God is far better, far more authoritative,
right.
And far much more necessary to trust in it.
Absolutely. But yet, so many, human nature says, well, I'm not going to believe it if I can't see it.
Right.
You know, that, and that's a problem with so many people, I think.
Thank you, Thomas.
Yeah, Doubting Thomas, one of the disciples that said, I'm not going to believe that's Jesus unless I see the scars in his hands and feet, which, of course, Jesus did appear and showed him that. But so often our humanness keeps us from huge blessings mm-hmm. that God wants to give us. Because we're over here going, I don't know about that. I'm one of those. I got to see it to believe it. You know, that's just a lie of the devil.
Right. Well, and a lot of other things keep us from that, too, is we believe, well, why should God choose me?
Yes.
I'm nothing special.
Right. Why did God choose Abram?
Right. Well, he just did. It was his.
We really don't know, but yeah, we also know.
It was his sovereign choice.
It was his sovereign choice, but I also believe that Abram had a heart that was open to God.
Open to God. Well, he would have had to, or he could have said, no, I'm not moving out of Ur of the Chaldees.
Right. Right.
Are you nuts?
Yeah. And instead, he goes, okay, are we moving? Sure, let's go. He picked up his wife, his nephew, and their families, and moved.
From the first one, God had said to him, move from here to a place that you don't even know about,
right.
And I'm going to bless you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, he must have believed that because he packed up and left Ur, went to Haran, and then went on down into Canaan.
Exactly.
So,
and it's hard to make those kind of decisions, to pack up or move or to move forward.
Tell me about it.
You did that coming from Chicago a few mm-hmm. years back. I did that in 1991, moving from Indiana from the church that I had started and pastored and was very content there. But I felt God really saying, I've got more for you to do, and it's not here. You got to move out and follow me. And I know now, looking back, with beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I knew it then, that was God speaking to me. But it was a very hard thing to leave the comfort zone. And I think that's what it is for a lot of people. It's very hard to step out in faith in an area. Like, step out in faith and begin to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which
right.
we are teaching on Wednesday night right now. It's hard to step out of comfort zones.
Well,
don't you think?
Well, yeah, because that makes it uncomfortable.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean,
right.
But I'm thinking in respect maybe to Beacon.
Yeah.
When, and praise God, Nathan and Sean came back and, Nathan's leading the music. And it's been a big change because I had done all the canned music on
right.
off of CDs and all that. So this was a big change. That was me stepping out of my comfort zone.
Right.
Because it had been so long since we'd had live music,
yeah.
But, has the anointing been there?
Mm.
And that's what God wanted. And and it can be uncomfortable to walk into the anointing.
Right.
Because you just don't know sometimes what's going to happen.
That's why that theme song at the beginning of this show is, we've had the same theme song for over 4 years. And it is all about the river of God's anointing, because the anointing is God's presence in our mm-hmm. lives. And it is a river, and we have to get in it and swim in it and move with the presence of God in our lives. Otherwise, we're going to lose out. We're going to lose out on the blessings, the incredible amount of blessings that God has for us when we do stay in the river of God's
right.
anointing.
Right.
Ooh, we're getting a little crazy around here mm-hmm. today, Pastor Jim.
Praise God.
And so we see Abram said, okay, I believe. He believed God. It just says he believed God. In verse 6 of Genesis 15, it doesn't say Abram took a couple weeks to think it over. It doesn't say Abram prayed about it. A lot of times, I hear that spiritual answer from people. I'm going to pray about it. You ask them a couple weeks later, what was your decision? What did God say? What? About what? And that can be a convenient excuse for doing nothing. Okay. And so often it's better to decide right then and there, when God speaks to your heart, I either believe it or I don't believe it. Okay?
I'm bam, either bam. Act on it or I'm
yes.
not.
Yes. I'm either going to receive this. Abram walked outside with God and looked up at the stars, and he right then made a decision. He believed God. Okay, you're telling me I'm going to have that many descendants? And then later God reminds him, oh, wait a minute, just like all the sand. Then later, all the dust. You're going to have all those descendants. And every time Abram believed God, you don't see him arguing. You don't see him arguing. Isn't that cool?
The only time he ever argued with God was when he was trying to save Sodom.
That's exactly right. When he was doing intercession, really.
Right. He was interceding
yes.
for Sodom.
Yes, he was. And that's another thing. Okay, so he looked up at the sky. He believed God. God said, okay, you're righteous. You're set right with me. Okay. Now, in verse 7 of Genesis 15, God continued and he says, I'm the same God who brought you out of the Ur de los Caldeos and gave you this land to own. And Abram said, Master God, how am I to know this, that it will all be mine? Now, that is not saying I don't believe you. Now, this is from the Message Bible. What, you're in NIV?
NIV.
In your pink Bible?
In my pink Bible.
What?
He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I'll gain possession of it? It's not like I don't believe you. How can I know this? How will this happen? And I think of what Mary said in Luke chapter 1.
Yes.
I think of the difference between what Zechariah said, how can this be?
Right.
I'm an old man. And Mary's, when he was told about John the Baptist's birth, and Mary's response when the angel told her she was going to conceive in her virginity.
Right.
She said, how will this be?
Right. There's a big difference between how could this possibly be and how is this going to happen?
How will this happen? I'm just curious. It's going to happen. I'm just wondering how you're going to make this happen.
Right.
And that's more what Abram was saying here.
Mm-hmm.
Sovereign Lord, how can I know, okay, that I will gain possession of it?
Right.
How can I know I'm going to get this land that you've told me? Because there were two promises to Abram, one for a son and the multitude of descendants, and one for the land.
Right. And is it okay to say to God, okay, how's all this going to happen? Yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Absolutely. What you don't want to say to God is, yeah, right. How can this be?
Hey, that's impossible, God.
Right, how are you going to provide this money?
Right.
You know, how in the world are you going to do that? I mean, what makes me, you know.
There's no way you can do
this. Well,
you know, and that is simply doubt and unbelief. And the devil loves doubt and unbelief. Those are the tricks he uses all the time.
Because it keeps us from moving into everything that God has for us.
Yeah, if you have a lot of doubt in your heart and you're going, I don't know, man, I don't know. God, did I hear from you? Did I not? I don't know. If you're in that kind of a mindset, it's going to be real hard to receive the blessings and miracles.
And I would say even if you're in that mindset, just believe you heard from God.
Exactly.
If you didn't, it's not a problem God can't fix.
That's right.
Okay, some people are so afraid to step out in faith,
Mm-mm.
believing because, well, what if it's presumption? What if I'm mistaken? What if I heard wrong? So you step out, you mess up. Maybe you didn't really hear from God. You didn't hear all of what God had or whatever.
Right.
God's bigger. He'll straighten it out for you. As long as you recognize, okay, I missed it. I'm sorry. Let's start over again.
You know, that is an excellent point, Pastor Jim, because so often we feel like God, and that's doubt speaking. God, oh, if I missed this and it wasn't right and it wasn't God and I didn't hear correctly, oh, God's going to be so upset or he's going to have a mess on his hands. And God is the all-powerful, all-knowing. He's
It's not going to, it's not going to be bigger than what God can handle.
Amen. But that's where our unbelief comes in.
Right.
Our doubt and our unbelief comes in and says, I don't know, God, if you can make this thing okay. This is kind of a mess I've made on this whole situation here. Let's say you've made some bad decisions and they have not been what you needed them to be or what God would have wanted you to be. You just did your own thing. And then you go, oh, I don't know how this can possibly straighten out and be anything decent.
It's bigger than NBC, God.
Good point,
Amen.
Engineer Bill. It is bigger than NBC. And it is, God is bigger than any problem. There's that old song.
Bigger than any.
Yeah, remember that.
Mm-hmm. Bigger than any.
Yeah.
God is bigger than any problem.
Uh-huh.
I can't. Whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have to go home and look up that song.
Look up that song. That's an old song. But boy, is that to truth.
It's, yeah. And, you know, don't let, I would just say to people who are listening, don't let that doubt get in there. If you missed it, if you didn't really hear from God, it's not a big deal.
Wage war on doubt.
And here's your weapon.
Yes.
Right here, the Word of God. You know, you're wondering what the will of God is. It's the Word.
Exactly.
Get into the Word and find out what God's will is.
Romans 10:17, the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how are you going to increase your faith? You're going to get in the Bible, and you're going to learn this stuff, these principles, and it's going to become a part of you, and it's going to become an exciting part of you, where you're like, whoa, I can't wait to get home and read my Bible tonight, you know? I mean, that's cool. When you are that in love with God and His Word, that you want to spend time in your Word, not just on Sunday morning, not just during Bible study, but you desire it.
It's funny, when I came out, I mean, when I officially get my, you know, my ex-wife left and everything, when she came to pick up all the belongings, I gave away, I mean, I had like classic Christian books from the early 70s and all that, but I could not give away my Bible.
Oh, good.
I could, I mean, I had to keep my Bible. And at that point, I'll tell the listeners, I was in no spiritual place at that point. I was really backslidden. I was mad at God. I was really angry at God. But I kept the Word.
Amen.
And I couldn't give it up.
Right.
And, you know, little by little, started reading it again, and then came back to God, and we had a good long talks for a while.
Amen. Amen. Well, the bottom line of all this is that God's Word is true.
Amen.
And we're going to see that as we go through this story today. We've got a great song up here first, and it is by Sela, and it's really, really a great rendition of The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power, because we're going to be talking more about the blood of Jesus in just a little while.
Yeah.
Praise God. Whoa, what a great song. We love that song.
And the listeners missed Jim singing.
Ooh, oh, they did? Oh.
I love that song.
He loves that song. We've done that for years at Beacon of Hope. That's a great song.
And it's so...
It's all about the blood of Jesus.
It is. And I think people don't understand. They think we have... And I've heard Christianity, or true Christianity, called a really bloody religion.
Yeah.
And you know what? We are.
Yeah. It has everything
and
to do with the
it
blood.
It has everything. And
but it started back here.
Right. People don't understand the importance of
yes.
covenant and what all is involved in that. Because, you know, you and I have talked about, when we were talking about what we're going to talk about today. But, you know, the importance, and again, I can't keep from going back to yesterday. If people understood the covenant,
yeah,
then they'd come running to God.
Exactly.
They would know what he gave, mm-hmm. the importance. And
absolutely.
What the covenant means to us.
Exactly.
You know, because it's a fairly one-sided covenant.
And God made the covenant with us, and that's what we're talking about here in Genesis 15. If you just tuned in, this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are so determined to teach the concept that God made the covenant. He made the promise. He made the agreement with mankind. And he said, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm actually going to give you a written word of the things that I want you to learn and, right. and grow by, you know? And I mean, that's part of it, all of it. And the blood is so important. And the blood that we talk about when we sing a song like we just played, the blood of Jesus, it's not just what Jesus shed his blood on Calvary. That was really the culmination of the whole concept of how important the blood was.
Right, exactly.
So the blood starts back. You want to give him a little history lesson, our scholar here, about, and now we're talking about the blood here in Genesis 15.
Right, right. Well, even, I can even take it back to the Garden of Eden.
Let's take it back to the Garden of Eden. That's where I want you to go with it.
After Adam and Eve sinned,
yes.
then what did they try and do? They tried to cover themselves up with what eventually God was going to curse, which was plant life. I mean,
yeah.
the fruit of the ground.
Right.
They got the fig leaves.
Right.
And yet it says God provided them with skins to cover themselves.
Exactly.
Where'd they come from?
The animals he created.
Exactly. There was a sacrifice.
There was
God
a sacrifice.
Had to make the sacrifice.
Clear back in the Garden of Eden.
This
is
huge. Praise God. Look at this. What did he do? He covered their nakedness.
Yes.
It's so symbolic of covering their sins.
Which is the Old Testament.
Which is
atonement
the
means
atonement
to cover.
Was the covering of their yes. sins.
Yes.
And God, again, provided that.
Right.
And, you know, Cain and Abel. Okay, Abel provided a sacrifice of the flock.
Yes.
A blood sacrifice.
Blood sacrifice.
His
and that's the difference right there between Cain and Abel.
Right. And his was the sacrifice that was accepted.
And Cain brought produce, which is nothing wrong with vegetables and salad.
Right.
However,
except he brought, not only did he bring the fruit of the ground, which the Lord had cursed, and he knew that.
Yeah.
But you get the hint that he also didn't give the best. He probably gave the wilted lettuce. And,
The day-old salad.
The wormy tomatoes
All
and
right.
things like that, whatever. But
he didn't bring the blood sacrifice.
Right. And that's the whole concept. Mm-hmm. And we see it here in Genesis 15, and there's some things that are common to a covenant.
Right.
And the first is you have the terms of the covenant.
Right.
And the terms of the covenant with Abraham were, I'm going to give you a son.
Right.
In you the nations will be blessed. Your descendants will be as the sand of the sea.
Yes.
Stars of the sky. And I'm going to give this land to you.
Right.
Those are the terms of the covenant. That was what God said, I'm going to do. And the cool thing about the covenant with Abram is it stretches. God... We see the whole panorama
right.
of the covenant, because over in Genesis 17, he says, okay, there's only one thing I want you to do, Abraham. By this time, he'd renamed him. I want you to have your son circumcised.
Right.
I want the flesh of their foreskin to be cut. That's the sign of the covenant, because there's always a sign of the covenant.
Amen.
The other things were, as we see here, God said to bring the animals.
Right.
And he told him to bring... a heifer, a goat, and a ram,
mm-hmm.
each 3 years old.
Three.
number of God, along with a dove and a young pigeon. So we have five animals, which, Pastor, means?
Grace. God's unmerited favor in our lives. So five.
Abraham split the animals down the middle.
Except for the birds.
Except for the birds, and laid them out.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a pathway in between them. I'm sure it was a bloody pathway.
Bloody pathway.
But the animals were laid out. And normally, in a covenant, both parties would walk that line, which was saying, okay, this is what's going to happen to me if I break my covenant with you.
Right.
In the case of Abraham and in the case of Jesus, and I'm about ready to burst into tears
here. Go right ahead.
Only God walked that line.
Amen. Amen.
Because... because it was a one-sided covenant.
Yes, he didn't make us promise anything.
All we have
because
to do
he knew
is
we
believe.
Were human and we would mess up.
Exactly. All we have to do is believe. And if we believe, we won't end up like those split open animals.
Exactly.
You know, and that's so incredible. And there was also, believe it or not, a covenant meal.
Yes.
There was also usually a ritual meal.
Mm-hmm.
And
I never got to that this morning,
You kind of touched on it, and we see that when
yeah, I just
when
ran
Abraham
out of time.
Actually, it was Abimelech.
Yes,
I believe later on makes a covenant with Abraham. I'm not sure if it was Abimelech, but because he said, and just like you said this morning, he saw this heathen person,
right?
Saw that God had really blessed Abraham,
right?
And he was kind of afraid, so he wanted to make a covenant, and they had a covenant meal.
Right.
Over it. And that's the other part is you have the terms, the sacrifice, you have the meal.
Right.
And we have, praise God, we have all those things in our covenant with Jesus.
Amen.
Because, God expanded. It's not like when Moses came along, we had that covenant. It's not like Abraham's covenant disappeared.
It did not. It stayed in effect.
It stayed. It's like God
built. To this day.
God built upon each covenant.
Yeah.
Okay, so Moses comes along and institutes the sacrificial system.
Right.
And you said it this morning, and I agree, Pastor. I've read through the book of Leviticus, and I praise God I don't have to go to the temple to worship.
Wow.
For the sacrifices.
All the sacrifices, the bloody sacrifices, it was not good. It was not a pretty picture.
The stench must have been incredible. And yet, when they would burn the flesh upon the altar,
right.
God would say it was a soothing aroma to him.
Because it was simply the sacrifice that he had ordained. Right. That's what was so pretty about it.
And what's Abimelech?
But just the name of a guy. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, just the name of a guy, a king, actually, that cut the covenant with him. So, yeah. And go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, just what you said, the word covenant, when it's used in the Old Testament,
right.
The literal meaning is to cut.
To cut.
A covenant. You didn't just make a covenant. You cut something.
It's not just a
there
promise.
There had to be shedding of blood somewhere.
And, and a lot of us that have been married in wedding ceremonies have gone through that promise, the vows. I promise this to you. I've performed a whole lot of weddings in my pastoral years. And invariably, I have the bride say to the groom, these different things, and I promise this, this, and this. And the groom does the same thing.
And there's your terms.
Yeah, there's the terms of the covenant right there. I promise to cherish you, love, honor you. We take out the word obey these days. But anyway, I promise to keep you in sickness and in health till death do us part, or until last we are released into the arms of Jesus for all eternity. That's the terms of the covenant in the marriage ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the other person says the same thing. So they're going back and forth and saying, okay, here's what I agree to. Here's what I agree to. And part of that agreement is being faithful. And how
right.
often is that broken in so many marriages and covenant, quote unquote, ceremonies,
right.
And okay, but going on with your thought, and then we'll bring that up to date in the next hour. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we had Moses who instituted the sacrificial system. And remember on the Day of Atonement what they would do, and this even this goes all the way, I mentioned it before, to the Garden of Eden.
Back to the Garden of Eden. On the Day of Atonement,
the high priest would lay his hands upon the sacrificial ram and confess the sins of Israel.
Yes.
That ram would be sacrificed so that those sins would be covered. The second ram would be sent off into the wilderness as the scapegoat.
Yes.
So the sins could be carried away.
Right.
So, I mean, that's...
That's Old Testament.
That's Old Testament. That's what had to happen. I mean, there's all sorts of peace, free will offerings, peace offerings.
Right.
Guilt offerings.
Right.
The first part of the book of Leviticus talks about, if you do this, this is what you need to do. If you do this, this is what you need to do. If you sin in this way, this is the sacrifice you need to make. And it's all about the innocence of the animals.
Exactly.
Our sin was imputed to that animal, was in a sense transferred to that innocent animal.
That's exactly
right. And the animal
right.
was sacrificed so that our sin could be covered by that blood. And in fact, when somebody was cleansed of leprosy, you had to have a little blood sprinkled on you. When Aaron and his sons were consecrated to the ministry, to the priesthood, they had blood on their right ear, right thumb, and right big toe. So again,
the blood on all that. That is so cool.
Hebrews chapter 9, without the shedding of blood, it says, everything in the tabernacle is cleansed by blood. And in fact, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin.
And that's Hebrews 9:22. And that is what sums it up, that everything has to be cleansed by blood.
Right.
How are we cleansed? How are we made righteous? Because of what Jesus did on the cross for us by the shedding of his blood. Now, Leviticus 17, verse 11 says that the life of an animal or a person or whatever is in the blood.
Right.
The life is in the blood.
Well, and that's our life. You drain us of our blood, we're dead.
We're dead.
You know?
And people bleed out and die.
Right, exactly.
Why do they die? Because they're... maybe because their leg is injured. No, if they bleed out, they're
because
dead.
Their life ebbs.
Their life is gone out.
Them.
Exactly.
And that's such an important point. That's why God said. That's why I'm instituting the Day of Atonement.
Right.
Because the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Yes.
And it's only blood. And it's blood
God
that makes atonement
it that way.
For you.
It's that vital substance within us that is so. Interesting, mm-hmm. isn't it? Blood is so interesting.
And I said it this morning in church, and I'm going to
say it again
because I really believe it. That's why, and I believe Satan is fighting because he knows his time is short.
Right.
And he knew that 30 years ago
right.
in 1981 and even before because all of a sudden in 60s, 70s, 80s, we had all these blood-borne illnesses.
That's true.
That came up.
Right.
Hemorrhagic fever.
Right.
Hepatitis A, hepatitis B, and now hepatitis C, HIV. They attack the blood.
The blood.
Satan hates blood just in general, apparently.
But because that's where the life is, and he's all about
death.
He's
all about death and destruction.
Exactly.
So, he tried to take something that is life and turn it into something that is death.
Absolutely. And cancer of the blood.
Leukemias,
all of that. And so the goal there is for the devil to destroy the effectiveness of the blood.
But praise God, he can't.
He can't.
He lost at the cross.
And so here we are with another object lesson. See, the first object lesson is in Genesis 15, is that God takes Abram outside and says, look up and see the stars. And that's how many descendants. And then he takes it a step further and he says, okay, now here's the next step. We're going to go get these five animals.
We're going to
two
cut
birds,
a covenant.
Three animals, and we're going to cut a covenant. Now, when we come back on and teach this in just a few minutes here, we're going to do station ID in just a minute, and we're going to do a couple commercials. But we are going to talk about covenant keeping, covenant cutting in Africa and other nations, and how this is still practiced. And I think it's really going to help people, our audience, understand this whole concept. Dear listening audience, this is extremely important. Stay with us.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Welcome to every one of you that are listening today to Living the Good Life, or maybe you're listening to this show later on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Thanks to our wonderfully talented and very good-looking engineer, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
He has made it possible that I get the shows sometime Sunday evening, and it is transferred. That show is transferred to our webmaster in Georgia. And by usually Monday afternoon, we have our show up on our website.
Depending on how my brain's operating.
All right. Well, your brain's good today, right?
My brain is good today.
All right. So we will have this show up tomorrow in the afternoon. So we welcome you to tell others about Living the Good Life on this channel, this station, 1340 AM. We're in our fifth year on this radio station at this time. We started out an hour show that was only about 3 or 4 weeks, and we went to an hour and a half because we realized we talked too much for an hour show. And so we went to an hour and a half, and then last year we went to 2 hour show. And it's a long time, and people sometimes say, how can you talk that long? And then they get to know me. And so anyway, the answer is very simple. It's easy to talk for 2 hours because we're talking about God and how wonderful he is and how great he is, Pastor Jim. It is just exciting. We come in here and we are pumped up. We are ready for church after we leave here on Sunday afternoons.
Amen.
I mean, we're excited about God's word and what he's doing. We welcome you to go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, find out all about the ministry, what God is doing. We're in our 10th year here in Clearwater, Florida. Started out actually in Tampa, moved to Clearwater a few years back, but we are excited about what God is doing in people's lives.
Amen.
We have a counseling ministry. We have a 24/7 prayer ministry. Do you want to tell them about that?
Yeah. If you need prayer at any time, you can send your prayer request to prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at beaconofhopeministries.com. We have a prayer team. Either myself or Alice or Deb will pick up the prayer request. We'll send it out to the prayer team, and you will get prayed for. And we
Absolutely.
Have had answers, some we didn't like, as in Will's case.
Yeah.
But, you know, God answers,
prayer,
and that's why we have this ministry. And we've seen miracles occur
absolutely
because of the prayers of God's people.
Exactly. And Will's one of our people who just got a job in D.C.,
yeah,
so that's why we're not crazy. We prayed for a job.
We prayed to get that job. And
we should have specified it had to be in the Tampa Bay
right.
area.
Be specific with your prayer request, please.
But anyway, God is answering prayers for employment. God is answering prayers for finances. He's answering prayers for healing for our bodies, our minds, all of that. He's doing it. And strength every day that we need strength. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doing all these things. So we're a ministry that's all about the Word of God, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's what it's all about at Beacon of Hope. So if you are new to this show, maybe it's the first time you're listening today, we passed out hundreds and hundreds of cards yesterday about the radio show. So I dare to believe that there are several that are listening for the first time. And just know that Beacon of Hope is a place where you can be safe, where you can feel the love of God, where you will be loved by all of us, and where you can be yourself and learn God's word. And that's what it's all about. It's a family. We're actually having a big picnic next July 4th in the morning. We're going kayaking out on Dunedin Causeway. And
not all of us are going.
Yeah, not all of us are going kayaking. A lot of us are. And we're also baptizing people.
Yes.
If you want to be water baptized, and even if you're not a part of Beacon of Hope, come out to Dunedin Causeway. You'll see our tent. And we will baptize you.
I'll dunk you.
Yeah, you better believe it.
And make your confession of faith in Christ.
That's
and
right.
I will dunk you.
Absolutely. So if you want to be water baptized and you have never had that done, or you've had it done and you didn't understand it,
right,
come out to the causeway the next Monday morning, July 4th, between 9 and 1, and we will make sure you're baptized. And we'll actually feed you lunch, too. How's that? And if you want to take a ride on a kayak, you can do that, too. So we do a lot of fun things. We're going to a Rays game in August. We got a lot of stuff going on at Beacon of Hope all the time. And it's an exciting place to be and a fun place to be. We're
yes.
located in Clearwater and right beside the Golden Diamond Source. And I continue to give them a plug, and I'm not sure why, but I do. And so it is basically at the corner of 38th Street and Almerton Road, right behind Five Guys and Poncheros and all of that. So that's where we are. Where are you? We hope you will find a home, a church home. And if it's not Beacon of Hope, find some place that you can plug in and be a part of the ministry.
Well, yes. And I mean, that's so important. I mean, once you need to be someplace where you can hear the word, because that's what's going to build up your faith.
Absolutely.
And that's what's going to bring out, basically, miracles in your
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. Yes.
And who doesn't need a miracle?
And we still have another 55 minutes of this show today. Why don't you call a friend and tell them to tune in 1340 AM if you're in the Tampa Bay area. And if you are on your computer, it is tantalk1340.com, www.tantalk1340.com. And to reiterate what you were saying about the prayer team, anybody can use that prayer line
Amen.
At any time of day,
24/7. Right, and you don't have to be a member of Beacon of Hope.
No.
We've had people from Australia.
Yes, and all
send
around.
Send in prayer requests.
Exactly. So just send in your request, and we will pray for you. Listen to this song by the Crab Family, Nothing But the Blood, and we're talking about the blood of Jesus today.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of
What a good song. Mm-hmm. I've never heard that rendition by the Crab Family. Started out sounding like it was going to be like from the old days, a rendition. Then it got wild,
didn't it?
You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we're talking about God's covenant with us today and how important the blood is to that covenant. We're in Genesis 15. You'll have to go back on our website and listen to the first hour. We won't try to catch you up because that kind of sets the tone for where we are in Genesis 15, where Abram now is saying to God, how do I know you're telling me the truth here, that you're going to bless my descendants, that you're going to give me children? I've never had a child at age 75. And God says, I'm going to tell you because I'm going to show you. And so he does another object lesson with Abram and takes him to this area. And he says for Abram to go get a heifer, a goat, a ram, and each of those 3 years old, and also a dove and a young pigeon. He brought all the animals to him and he split them down the middle. That is, Abram brought the animals to God. Right?
Right.
And he laid the halves opposite each other, but he didn't split the birds. Vultures swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram scared them off. As the sun went down, a deep sleep overcame Abram, and then a sense of dread, dark and heavy. Do you want to comment on all that right there, Pastor Jim?
Well, I think symbolic, getting back to the birds for a second.
Let's go back to the birds.
The vultures, the birds of prey.
Not that movie, The Birds, right?
Right.
That's an awful movie. Go ahead.
I like that movie. But anyway, the birds of prey that came down, vultures or whatever they were, they wanted to, of course, swoop down and eat the carcasses.
Right.
And I see those, and I heard a teaching on this once, and I do believe it's like those are symbolic of like doubt and despair.
Yes. Isn't that
and
true?
All that.
Yes.
You know, and what did Abram do? He drove them away. Probably had that staff in his hand, was smacking them upside the head to keep them from devouring the carcasses, because God didn't show up right away.
Right.
It said as he was, as the sun was setting, then Abram fell into a deep sleep. And, it says that thick and dreadful darkness came over him. And, the Lord's next words were not happy words to him. But he said, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. Well, we know that that happened.
It did happen.
This is a prophecy before
it ever happened. Go ahead. Explain that, if you will.
Yeah. Well, God said here, they're going to go to a country that's not their own, where they're strangers. And we know that that happened through a long series of events with Abram's great-grandchild, Joseph, who was sent to Egypt.
Right.
Before the famines happened, he was able to provide not only for the Egyptians, but for his own family. And that's a whole nother
story.
But that's how Israel ended up there.
Right.
And then he says that, they'll be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years.
And they were.
Yes, they were. But he said, I will punish the nation where they serve as slaves, and afterwards they'll come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age.
Right.
In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure.
Exactly.
So God said, okay, it's going to look, and sometimes this has to happen to our dreams or our, it's not that.
Oh, yes.
It's not that.
The death of the vision,
it's not that it's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
But in this case, God says, okay, I'm going to give you this land.
Right.
And then he goes and says, but okay, we're going to take a slight detour here for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But all that worked out because God got such glory.
Amen.
When he freed the Israelites from Egypt, he got such glory.
Absolutely.
From that. And, he
allowed.
He allowed
all
that.
Of that slavery, those 400 years. And God allows a lot of things in his wisdom that he could change and alter with his power.
Yes.
But he doesn't.
He doesn't do that.
Because he's got a reason. God always sees the big picture. We talk about that a lot here on Living the Good Life. Because God has seen the big picture of your life right now. And he saw the big picture of the children of Israel. And he knew they needed to go through this slavery time.
Right. Because sometimes, both in Proverbs and in Hebrews quotes it, but we have to be disciplined.
Exactly.
And It's never pleasant.
Right.
As any of us who've been paddled know, it's
right.
never it's never,
never
pleasant.
Never pretty, yeah.
It's never good to be told no.
Right. We don't like that. Our human
like
nature
that.
Goes,
no.
nah, I don't want to be told no.
But the nation of Israel needed to go through this.
Yes, yes. They needed to learn that God was the God of the miracles, too. And when they were in that slavery all those years, there had to be some of them that were hanging on to the promise that
right.
had been given Abram.
Well, we know at least Moses' family.
At least Moses' family did hang on to that. Right.
You know, even though Moses didn't quite understand it at first.
Sure.
But there were, you know, there's always, and I believe this back then and now, there's always a faithful remnant.
There is always
there's
a remnant.
There's always a remnant.
Do you want to define remnant for our listening audience?
Within a large group of people.
Yes.
And best example I could say is Israel when they were a nation back in the like after David and Solomon, there was always a believing remnant.
Right.
There were a lot of Israelites
a group left
and
behind.
Judahites
yes.
because by then it split into the two nations. But a lot of the I'll use Israelites to cover both countries who didn't believe. They just went through the rituals.
Right.
You know, or they were in big idolatry, like the 10 northern tribes. But God, there was always a remnant that
exactly.
believed. Like with Elijah, when he was so depressed, he said, I'm the only one that's left. And God said, excuse me, I've hidden 3,000 prophets.
Right, exactly.
I've hidden 3,000 who've not bent the knee to Baal.
That's right.
So there's always a remnant.
There's a remnant.
And
yeah.
then
there's
once,
a group.
On the day
behind.
Of Pentecost, then, the believing remnant started all over again
right.
with the 3,000 that got saved that
right.
day.
Exactly.
Not just 120, but then when they added the 3,000, there was the believing remnant.
There they were. So God says to Abram, okay, here's what's going to happen. Now, Abram's in kind of a blue funk, I think, at this point, because it's gotten very dark, and now you've got these animals laid out. There's blood everywhere. What is God going to do? And Abram kind of gets questioning, maybe. I don't know. It just says that it was dark. Deep sleep came over him. There was a sense of dread, dark and heavy.
Well, I think maybe in his spirit, when God started speaking to him, that who'd want to know that my descendants are going to be enslaved in a foreign country
for 400 years. Exactly.
You know, and then, but then, you know, when the sun had completely set, because this right. happened. The vision happened about dusk when the sun was setting. When it completely set, then God comes on the scene as a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch.
Isn't that cool that he came as smoke and fire?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the glory cloud to me.
Doesn't it? Yes.
And those pass between the pieces.
Yes.
God passed between the pieces.
God himself walked between in these halves of these animals, and because that was the symbolism of, go ahead, you said it earlier in the first hour, but say it again if you will, the symbolism of the...
Well, it's like, may God do this to me.
Right.
May God do what you did to the animals, may he do it to me.
In other words, cut me in two.
If I don't keep my part of the covenant.
Right.
Well, notice, it wasn't Abram that walked through between the animals, it was God.
It was God.
And then God said, well, it says, on that day, God cut a covenant with Abram.
Amen.
And said, to your descendants, I will give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites. Let's see if I can read this here. Kenizzites, Kadmonites. I don't have
the Hittites, Perizzites,
Raphaites, Amorites, Canaanites,
all the ites,
Girgashites, and Jebusites,
and yes, all the ites,
all the ites, basically all the people that were living in Canaan in the land of Canaan.
In other words, God
time.
Was promising Abram, okay, I am going to keep my promises to you.
Right.
I'm going to keep my word to you, and my word is true. It's good. When I promise you something, it's
going to
happen.
It's going to happen. And,
I've shown
you that because I've walked between the animals.
Yes.
I've cut my covenant with you.
So he gave him an object lesson,
right.
which is so cool that God Almighty came down, walked as fire and smoke between the carcasses. And this was a symbolic gesture to Abram and to all of us
right.
since that point that God cut the covenant. Now, let's go back for a second. I said we would bring in the Africa covenants and the things. This has been going on since the beginning of time, cutting
exactly.
the covenant.
Well, and I believe that in our inmost being, whoever we are, we want to please God, and you know, Adam and Eve, I think, realized what that was.
Right.
And I'm sure they told Cain and Abel and passed it on down. I mean, we know that Job, in the time of the patriarchs,
right.
made sacrifices for his children.
Right.
So everybody's kind of known this. I mean, it's been, in a sense, perverted by other, you know, by all the other tribes and whatever. But there's still that knowledge that it takes blood.
Yes.
To do this, to make
it's
a covenant.
It's all about the blood.
You know, in the, like you said, the American Indians, Native Americans,
yes.
did blood covenants.
Absolutely.
You know, tribes in Africa, Asia, wherever. And
it's been
and,
a common thing, and it's still going on.
And I think we, the so-called Western world, we've forgotten what that really means, what the concept of covenant is all about. Because,
right.
well, we talk about the blood, we talk about the covenants, but we just don't. It, I think sometimes they're not real to us.
Right. Right.
Maybe for just one day, we need to go back to the old sacrificial
Absolutely.
System.
Absolutely.
Just to get a feel.
Well,
for
that's
what
why
it's
we're teaching
like.
It right now, because everything from this point on, when God said, "Okay, I'm going to take care of you. Here's the covenant I'm making with you. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to take care of you. I am going to lead you, guide you. I'm going to be your healer." There was so much in this covenant.
Mm-hmm.
That he really initiated this particular day
right.
with these carcasses.
Right. And there's, I think we tend not to comprehend all of that, to understand it, just because we don't know it, we've not experienced
right.
it.
Right.
But it's such an important thing. And what it means is that God gave his unalterable word
exactly.
to Abram that I'm going to give you.
Unalterable.
Yeah.
Couldn't change it.
Couldn't change
Once
it.
Once he put it down, never, it's written in stone.
Right, exactly. This is what I said. I'm going to do it.
Right.
This is my promise, and I'm giving you my oath.
Exactly.
And Hebrews says by two unchangeable things.
Right.
The promise and the oath.
Right.
That's why Abraham later could hope
right.
and believe that God was going to fulfill this because
Absolutely.
God himself, I mean, and think about it, it's God himself doing this. It's
exactly.
God himself making
right.
this covenant.
Right. And whoa. So we're going to talk more in a minute about the old covenants in Africa and so forth, and how that is significant here. We've got a new song we're going to play by New Song. That's the name of the group, and the song is "Wide Open." Listen to this.
Heaven's gates were closed, and there seemed to be no hope for fall. Prisoners of our sin, with no way to enter in, but God had a plan. The Father knew there had to be
Lift our hands, hold heaven's gates wide open.
Great song.
It's open.
It's open. Oh, yeah, I hear you.
It's open, Jim was saying.
I know.
All right.
Well, praise God. The gate is wide open here to God. It is wide open because of what God did by cutting the covenant with Abram back in Genesis chapter 15. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we were talking here about the importance of blood. And all the way through the Word of God, the emphasis is on the blood. Life is in the blood.
It's the scarlet thread through the whole book.
It's through the whole book. And it really is. And even that, you know, well, I won't even go to that example, but there's several examples all through the Word with the blood. And without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, there is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus was a bloody mess on that cross. From the top of his head, where there were 12 big, long thorns down into his scalp, and all the way with the hands that were bloody, the blood that was running all the way down his body.
And he'd been whipped.
He'd been whipped totally.
Then,
blood,
so,
total blood mess. You know, that's what he saw.
And when he was on the cross, his blood drained out.
Yes.
But
spilled all over for us.
But yeah, he took that before the Father.
Yes.
And God said, it's enough. The covenant was ratified. And think about...
Amen. That's good. That's good.
You know, the things that we talked about earlier and about, you know, the parts of a covenant.
Yes.
You know, the terms of the covenant are salvation.
Yes.
God's going to provide us with salvation. Our part is to believe.
Amen.
Okay, that's kind
that's huge. Salvation, and we get that by believing.
By believing. I mean, those are the terms. And by salvation, I want to stop here and say... That word in Greek, soteria, means, you know, spiritual salvation, healing, wholeness.
It means all of that. It's not just saving from sins.
It's not just fire insurance.
It's
folks.
Not. It really isn't. When you're saved and really understand what it means, it the soteria, that Greek word, I agree with that. It really means wholeness. It means everything.
Right.
The healing for your body, for your mind, for emotions. When you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're getting so much more than fire insurance for sin.
No, exactly.
You're getting the whole kit and caboodle, if you will. You're getting all of it, the benefits.
As you read the scriptures again, you see the entirety of the covenant we have.
Yes.
Prophesied that by his stripes we are healed. That's a part of our covenant with God.
Right.
He became poor that we might become rich. That's a part of our covenant with God.
Amen.
You know, we're delivered.
Yes.
Deliverance is a part of our covenant with God.
Sanity in our minds.
Exactly.
Part of our covenant. Because 3 John 2 says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health,
even as your soul prospers.
Exactly.
Even as your mind, your will, and emotions
prosper. That's right. Yes.
And, you know, so there's the terms of the covenant. Well, the sacrifice, of course.
Yes.
Was Jesus.
Jesus is the sacrifice.
You know, you mentioned it this morning. He had, apart from all the whipping and stuff, the five major wounds were the two in his hands, two in his feet, one in his side. Again, five speaks about grace.
Grace.
You know, so there was the sacrifice. Well, and he instituted the meal.
Right.
He took Passover, which was a covenant meal.
Right.
And sort of transformed it. I mean, we call it the Lord's Supper, but it's still a Passover meal.
But it was
meal.
The Passover meal, and it was symbolic of this same covenant.
Exactly.
Do you want to amplify on that a little bit for our listeners?
Built upon the one before it.
Amen.
And under the new covenant, which was prophesied in the book of Jeremiah.
Right.
You know, God said he'd write the law on our hearts.
Yes.
And so all...
Instead of just on the stone tablets, it was going to be on our hearts.
It was going to be on our hearts.
Yes. I love that.
And, me too. It's so wonderful. Each part of the covenant, each thing in the covenant that we'd mentioned is fulfilled in Jesus.
Yes.
You know, we've got, if you fail to believe, you know, you're going to end up in eternity without God, without Jesus.
But it's so simple.
It's so
simple. Just to reach out and say, okay, I choose to accept what God has already done for me on the cross through Jesus.
And I got to read out of 2 Corinthians.
You may. Please do.
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that we can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart.
What verse are you on? 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
I'm now reading verse, I need my glasses, 13, I believe.
Okay.
If we're out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. And if we are in our right mind, it is for you. Verse 14 is where I'm at. And this is so important. For Christ's love compels us.
Yes.
Because we're convinced that one died for all, the sacrifice, the new covenant. Therefore, all died.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing part of this covenant.
Not only
did Jesus die, but every human was included in that death.
Amen.
And he died for all, verse 15, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and
Amen.
Was raised again.
Yes.
So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ this way, we do so no longer. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
New
the
creation.
Old is gone, the new has come.
Woo.
Verse 18, and this is so important. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, who brought us back to himself
Amen.
Through Christ
yes.
and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them.
Amen.
And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation.
Yes.
We there are Christ's ambassadors mm-hmm. as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God.
Ooh, tremendous passage right there.
It's so incredible because we're reconciled to God. And because of the new covenant is already in effect.
Right.
God's saying, there's nothing stopping you from coming to me. So many times we think, we're still under like the old covenant. I have
right.
to do this, this, or this. No, all you got to do is believe. There's nothing that can stop you because God doesn't count your sins against
exactly.
you anymore.
Exactly.
All you have to do is believe and be reconciled to God.
Because Jesus shed his blood on the cross for each
done.
Of us. It's been done. We don't have to any longer go to the big Jewish temple and slaughter an animal or present a sacrifice of some kind. That's been done away with. That's the old covenant. And now we're in and under the new covenant, which is Jesus.
And Paul makes the point here
yeah.
that, you know, Jesus reconciled us. He died once for all.
Exactly.
And what he did when that blood was shed.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how he did it, but every last drop of that blood he took before the Father.
Those are those things we can't even imagine.
But when he was raised
yeah.
from the dead.
Right. He did take the blood.
He took the blood there, and God
yes.
said, it is it. Right here, we have it.
Right.
It's enough. I can't count their sins against them anymore.
And when God looked at Jesus on the cross, all he saw was blood. I mean, really, when you think about it, that's what Jesus looked like,
mm-hmm.
just a bloody mess. But that's what he needed to see. He saw the blood, and it was the blood that is what cleanses us from sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so often, you know, we at Beacon, many times we will pray for people and we will, quote unquote, plead the blood of Jesus over them, which is a term that means we apply the blood of Jesus. Now, do we literally have blood? No. Literally, no. Spiritually, yes. By faith, we appropriate what Jesus already did on the cross by the shedding of his blood, and we use that blood, and because Jesus already used it on the cross, and it's done, it's, you know, and as you say, it's in heaven. But I mean, we are, by using it, I don't mean we literally touch it or anything like that, but we're appropriating what it has already done.
Exactly. We're appropriating what the blood has done
yes.
for
what
us.
What it means, the significance of it.
Yes. And, you know, it's important. Again, people are thinking, yeah, that's an awful, gross thing to think about all that blood.
It's not.
If it weren't for the blood of
right.
Jesus, we just wouldn't exist. There'd be no reason to exist.
Right.
You know, and again, remember the whole purpose of the sacrifice in a covenant was as a substitution.
Yes.
You would sacrifice the animals as a substitute for yourself.
Right.
Jesus took on our sins.
Amen.
The next verse, which I didn't read in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made him who knew no sin. Talking about Jesus, who right. knew no sin. There was no sin in Jesus.
Right.
To become sin for us.
Exactly.
That we might become the righteousness of God. There's the transfer. There's the covenant.
The substitution, yes.
Jesus became sin, became the sacrifice for our sins, that we could become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
God has given us his righteousness.
Right.
All we have to do is believe it. And, you know, I'm not worthy of that. I can never live a holy life like that. Did I say anything about holiness here?
Right.
That's a completely different topic.
Right.
We're talking about the righteousness, your right standing with God. God says, come to me. I've made you righteous. Come to me and believe that.
And believe.
And walk with me.
Which is back to Genesis 15:6, where Abram believed God and God set him right.
Right.
In other words, God made him righteous, called him righteous because he believed God, not because he was perfect, not because he had it all together. And I really think the devil has done a huge marketing campaign, if you will, against our human race, and making us feel that we are never going to be good enough, never going to be spiritual enough, never going to know enough in order to really walk in the miracles and the promises of God. And that is not true. It's all about the promise.
Exactly, exactly. And I just pray that our listeners' eyes would be open to this.
Amen.
Because it doesn't matter what you've done, what
right.
you may be doing at this very moment.
It does not. That does not mean we condone people going out and committing murders or anything like that. That is not what we're saying. But we're saying that God does understand your situation wherever you are.
Well, and you'd said it this morning. God knows you. And in fact,
yeah.
I meant to tell you, one of the scriptures I read this morning was Psalm 139.
Oh, yeah.
I love the way the King James says it. This is for Nan.
Yes.
He knows my down sitting and my uprising. You know, I love that. He knows when
down
I get up.
Down sitting and uprising.
When I sit down, when I get up, he knows my thoughts.
Yes.
He knows you, dear listener, better than you know yourself.
Absolutely.
And he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, can we hear an amen for that?
Amen.
Say that again. And
he knows you better than you know yourself, and he loves you.
Yes.
He proved it by sending Jesus.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. You know what? He's done all the reconciling he can do.
Right.
All you have to do is believe. And don't believe the lie that I'm not good enough to come to God. You know what? None of us are.
No. But it's all because of God's grace. Go ahead.
Because of God's grace. Because of what he's done. He has made us, and I love, what the King James says in the New King James in Ephesians chapter 1, we are accepted
yes,
in the beloved. I love that phrase.
Yes.
We are accepted
in
the beloved, in Jesus. God
Amen.
Accepts us in Jesus.
Amen.
All you have to do is believe that.
That's exactly right.
You know, and you know, God will work in your life. He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit. He'll make some changes.
Right. And you'll find that you don't want to do some of the same old things you always did
right.
do. You know, you're going to have your attitudes change, but you're exchanging that for knowing that you're walking in the will and the purpose and plan of God for your life.
Well, and it's like that song we sing, I'm trading my sorrows,
yeah.
I'm trading my pain.
Oh, we got to sing that again.
Amen. You know, it's an exchange.
Yes.
Jesus took everything wrong and bad and sinful and broken about
Amen.
You. And has given you righteousness, holiness, wholeness, healing, deliverance.
It's all there.
It's all there in Jesus.
And it's there if you believe.
Amen.
And it starts Ooh. With this covenant that God made with Abram, clear back here, and said, okay, I'm going to be this for you.
Right.
Okay? And I know you're going to mess up, and there's going to be days you're not going to be too cool, and you're not going to be very spiritual, and you're going to be pretty human. But here's what I am for you. I am your shield. I'm your great reward. I am your fortress. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am the one that keeps your mind straightened out. I am all of those things for you. I am your peace and your joy and your direction in life. I am all of that, saith God. That's who I am. That's what God says.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Ooh.
Oh, my.
We are having church.
Oh, I think we are.
But think about it. I mean, everything that we think is wrong with us, God, in his covenant with us, has exchanged that for something that's not wrong, that's whole.
We will have to do that song, Trading My Sorrows. Don't let me forget that, okay? Because that is a great song that says, I'm trading my sorrows for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my pain, you know, for healing. I'm trading these things. Because God, in his covenant that he made with us, has already provided the answer to every situation we can ever encounter in this life. So we trade in the yuck. It's like trading in an old car that barely runs. And you walk in and you say, okay, I'm done with this thing. It's not dependable. I don't like it anymore. It stinks, whatever. And you drive out of that car lot with a brand new car. You're trading something that isn't working for you for something that will and is beautiful. Woo.
Amen.
Something beautiful. That old Gaither song, Something Good, All My Confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was
brokenness and strife.
But he gave something, made something beautiful of my life. Listen to this Russ Lee and Michael O'Brien song, When Life Gets Broken.
Hands reaching out with no one to hold. You've been abandoned with no place to go. Wounded and wanting. Such desperate times, cold bitter tears are filling your eyes. Get a glimpse of Jesus, for he is right there with you. He knows just what you need. 'Cause when life gets broken, when you're in despair, you carry your burden. When it's too much to bear, it's down in the valley where he'll give you strength. And there is nothing you have lost that he can't replace. He'll help you start all over. Life gets broken. You hoped God would heal her, but she went home anyway. Now it's hard to imagine how you make it through the days. Weeks turn to years, time's passing you by, but you're still holding. Right there with you, he knows just what you need. 'Cause when life gets broken, when you're in despair, you carry your burden. When it's too much to bear, it's down in the valley where he'll give you strength. Nothing you have lost that he can't replace. He'll help you start all over again when life gets broken. Healing waters heal our troubled souls. When life gets broken, when you're in despair, you carry your burden. When it's too much to bear, it's
It's down in the valley way.
Oh, Bill, cue that up again. We're going to play it again in a little while. Oh, dear listener out there, we have been talking today on Living the Good Life all about the fact that God does have a good life for you.
Amen.
That he has a plan for you, that he has solutions to your issues and your problems, and that God already started thousands of years ago the plan and what he was going to do by cutting the covenant with Abram in Genesis 15. How that applies to you is that God has already put his reputation on the line,
Amen.
If you will.
Amen.
And he's already said, I'm doing this for you. Now, all you got to do is believe me when I tell you that I want to save your soul and heal your body and straighten out your messes that you have in your life and heal your relationships and mend your broken heart. I love that song, When Life Gets Broken, you get a glimpse of Jesus. Ah! And it's all about Jesus. And so many churches have tried to take Jesus and the blood of Jesus out of what they talk about, Pastor Jim. And that's where they go wrong, because it's all about Jesus. You have a comment to that?
Well, I was just remembering right after I got saved, a couple of things. All those blood songs all of a sudden made sense to me.
Right.
You know, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. I had no idea before I got saved.
Emmanuel was Jesus, yes.
What in the world that was talking about.
Right.
But I remember we had a cross in front of the church that somebody donated, and they had painted it brown. Well, somebody then repainted it white, but the brown kind of bled through and looked kind of pink.
Yeah.
So we often joked in this particular church, which was a major denomination, that, well, the reason it was pink, because they diluted down the blood, so.
Because we can't dilute down the blood of Jesus.
Can't.
It is all about the blood.
Well, and Satan,
and
would
that's
like,
how you, yeah.
Satan would love for us to forget about the blood.
That's exactly right.
The blood is what he fears.
Exactly.
Because that's what's sealed. That's, in this covenant, Satan's kicked out completely.
Right.
There was always, you know, because not only under the old covenant, under the Mosaic covenant, our sins were covered.
Exactly.
Now they're washed away.
They're washed away.
You know, God, they're not just covered up for
they're
a time.
Gone. They're gone.
They're gone.
If any of you out there right this moment are not positive that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, if you're not sure of your salvation and you have never accepted, or maybe you did and you never understood it, and now you seem to understand it today, now is the time to renew your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Pastor Jim, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me as I pray. And if you're out there and want to pray this prayer, pray with Pastor Jim, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in Jesus' name.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that he went to the cross for me.
I believe that he went to the cross for me.
I believe that he shed his blood so that I could be forgiven for my sin.
I believe that he shed his blood so that I could be forgiven for my sin.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask you, Lord, to forgive me now.
I ask you, Lord, to forgive me now.
For all that I've ever said or done.
For all that I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
And I accept you now.
And I accept you now.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
Come and live on the inside of me.
Come and live on the inside of me.
Teach me.
Teach me.
I want to learn.
I want to learn.
I want to understand your word.
I want to understand your word.
This is the first day of the rest of my life.
This is the first day of the rest of my life.
And I am asking you to be my Lord and Savior.
And I'm asking you to be my Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and play that again. Listen to these words, and then we'll come back in a moment.
You hoped God would heal her, but she went home anyway. Now it's hard to imagine how you make it through the days. Weeks turn to years, time's passing you by, but you're still holding on to the hows and the whys. Get close. Jesus, for he is right there with you. He knows just what you need. 'Cause when life gets broken, when you're in despair, and carry your burden, when it's too much to bear, it's down in the valley where he'll give you strength. And there is nothing you have lost that he can't replace. He'll help you start all over again when life gets broken.
Praise God. That's the answer right there. When life gets broken, there's answers.
Amen.
Give us some final thoughts, Pastor Jim.
Just know that God has made a covenant, an eternal covenant, a new covenant, which is built on the old covenants, the one he made with Adam, Noah, Abram, Moses, David.
Right.
But this is the final, the ultimate, as it were, covenant with Jesus.
Yes.
Made on better promises.
Amen.
Guaranteed by a much far greater sacrifice. And we have now, because of that, we have that hope that your scripture says holds within the veil.
Amen.
You know, we have a tremendous hope.
Right.
And I just want to encourage everybody that don't hold back. Don't be afraid. Don't believe that you're not worthy.
Right.
Because in Jesus, he, God, has made you worthy.
Amen.
And there's nothing to hold you back.
And it's time to reach out in faith and believe that
Amen.
God wants a better life for you than you're living right now.
Amen.
That he has all kinds of blessings in store for
Amen.
You. That he wants to heal your body and heal your mind and take care of some of your emotional hang-ups and provide jobs and housing or whatever it is you need. God has answers for your life that pertain on a daily basis
Amen.
To you. And God wants to see you through the stuff that you're going through. And that's what it's all about. And so often I think we're so afraid of change that we don't want to reach out and grab something that tens of millions of people around the globe understand and know, that being a born again child of God is the answer for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And following him on a daily basis and listening to his voice is what it's all about. And learning the word and understanding that these promises are for us because of the covenant that God cut with Abram and then us. And because of those promises, we can draw on those promises.
Amen.
And we can go to the heavenly bank, if you will, much like going to your bank here in wherever you live and draw money out if you've put money in. Well, God's already put it all in. The covenant is there. The promises are there. We can draw on the blessings that we have
Amen.
In store for us. Oh, my. Wow. Pastor Jim, it's always good to have you on the show. I love having you on the show. Sometimes you host the show when I can't, and I'm sure you will again soon. And but it's just a blessing, isn't it, to share with our listeners and to have this time every week.
Oh, I love being on the radio. I love sharing and just talking about, I mean, you know, I love talking about the word.
Yes.
And
you, me, both.
I know. And it's just, it's such a blessing, though, not only just to talk about the word, but to open it up and share with our listeners
exactly
what God wants to do for you and
the
in
deeper
you.
Truths. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you for being on.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Dear listeners, you can contact me personally at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. It comes directly to my computer. pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Actually, we forgot today, Pastor Jim, to tell them that we had the computer up and you could have written us or talked to us, but we forgot all about it. We got so crazy busy in our discussion, so that's all right.
Oh,
if you have a prayer request, go ahead.
God told me to tell you that there's another hour.
Oh, really? Okay. I guess there's an opening. Okay, then. Anyway, prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com. Send in your requests by email, and we will make sure that our prayer team prays Amen. For you. If you're in the Tampa Bay area or you're visiting, our service now on Sunday morning is 10 o'clock, not 11. 10 o'clock at Beacon of Hope, 3700 Almerton Road, Suite 206. And Wednesday night Bible study is a fun time in the Word. You can bring your dinner, come from work with your dinner, and we set up tables and we study the Word. And this week we're starting the gifts of healings. Wow.
Wow.
So come and get ready to hear what that means for you and your physical body
right.
and your mental
that,
body.
And also, if you're interested, we do have prayer time before that. We
yes.
take prayer requests. We spend time in prayer before Bible study
exactly.
starts. And it's a wonderful time.
It is. It's great. So you're welcome at Beacon of Hope. And again, check out our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister and my associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury. Such a sweetheart. Here with you live again today on Tantalk1340.com. Here we are. God bless you. Have a great week. And tune in again next Sunday at 4 o'clock. And we'll have a great time in the Word and sharing what God is doing in our lives. If we can help you, write us prayers at beaconofhopeministries.com.
Amen.
Have a good week. See you next week. It's not far to Jesus. Here.